And he proved it. He was healing, raising people from dead. And everybody at first in that temple didn't want to drag him off and kill him that day, because if you read on there, it says, oh, they're all astounded, amazed. And I'm still astounded and amazed at what Jesus is doing in people's lives, in this church, in my life, and others around the world. And we just want to carry on today talking about identity. So the church has been talked about identity in different ways. We're looking at maybe going all the way up to Christmas, well, beyond Christmas. It's a big subject. There's a lot of areas. I'm going to be talking about honouring the elderly today. I don't know if I'm qualified to do that, but I will have a go at doing that. So, first of all, thank you. Just put that there. Thank you. So, we've got a problem with that straight away. Who's old? Because most people I talk to don't want to say, I'm not old. What are you looking at me for? And we do look at the elderly in different ways, don't we? So I know when I'm talking to a lady, they don't tell me age. They don't want to tell me their age. They're doing all right. It's them, when I go meet now, we go to a place called Pimble's, and they gladly tell you they're in their 80s. Oh, yes, I'm 89, you know. And there's a time, I don't know where that comes, but it comes, doesn't it, at some point when they start letting you know their age again. And for others, it's different things. You know, one man said to me, one or two people know me, call him John, and he's an old Scottish lad in Pimble's where we go, and he's brilliant. And he once said to me, he said, Jez, you're older than me. And I said, why that? He says, because young men should be looking forward, and you look back a lot. And he were right, because I reminisce a lot. And it's true, young men will look forward. Old men remember. So it's just, it's different. We can't say what, who's, I don't want to put a date on it. I can do if you want, because NHS look at it as somebody over 65 is elderly. What I'm reading up. I'm looking at another organisation, because I'm looking at loneliness and things like that. I'm not going to talk too much about that in elderly, but the mental health organisation, wait for it, everybody, is 50. They look at people at 50 starting to, you know, things could start degenerating and that sort of thing. So there we go. But I'll give you some statistics before we start preaching. Since 1974, this is in England, UK, the number or the proportion of older people in the UK over 65 has grown by 47%. That's 18% of the population in 2014. The number of people aged 75 and over in that time has increased by 89%. That's brilliant, isn't it? You know, that's great that we've got elderly living longer, living better. And the Bible has a lot to say about elderly. So this is what I'm going to talk about today. So, when I were a young lad, I'm a silly one, I don't know. When I were a young lad, this is what we called the elderly. Old age pensioners. And to me, that's like it's a triple whammy, isn't it? You're old, you're aged, and you're a pensioner. What you see, we're almost like that. And now, I think we've changed this view. I think we're a lot better in society. But I think society has got better, hasn't it, recognising people in, you know, vulnerability in society. And when I say this, I'm not talking for elderly being vulnerable, because we have got a lot to learn from them. And like I said, they're living longer, they're fitter. So I don't want to go there. So, but old age is a blessing from the Lord. We should never be afraid of aging. Christians have a responsibility to show kindness, respect, and take care of the elderly. All people are to be respected, I believe that. But the Bible does emphasize quite a lot about honoring elderly people. And our culture often values youth, outward appearance, physical vigor. And we get caught up in it. We've all done it. We've all looked at mirror and seen that extra wrinkle, or when you get your first grey hair and you're trying to get back the years. We've all done it. Oh, try that product. Oh, that cream. That cream and that. I don't use creams. I know a man who does. I'm not into creams and all that. But we do. We don't want to go old in that sense, do we? We want to have active lives. There's no wrong with that. And I think diet and exercise is all those great things we can be doing all the time. But the gospel, doesn't marginalise. It doesn't neglect elderly people. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. So in the scriptures, we're told there's a commandment to love, isn't there? And if you go right back to the fifth commandment, there we are, right at the beginning. Where does it all start? Where can it start? Respecting your mother and father. Right in there, right at the beginning, respecting. First people, let's face it, when I was 16, I was telling somebody the other day, I saw somebody, this girl in our school, going out with this lad who was about 19. I thought, that's disgusting. He's 19? He's a mister. And I'm like that. And when I was young, my mum had me quite young. I bet she was 19 when she had me. But I remember being like seven, thinking, how old is my mum? And she was about 32 at most. And some of the young'uns here are still thinking, well, that is old, Jez. I think what we do is we often think about, as we get older, we just think about all those things like people aching joints. Well, I've got them. Medical conditions and memory loss, and that's how we kind of think in his head with elderly. Let's just see what Ecclesiastes say in Bible. I'm not going to read it all, but I think we've got it. We can put it up. I just want to pick out a little bit from it. It says this: if you've got your Bibles, it's Ecclesiastes 12. 1-8, but I'm not going to read it all. I'll read a little bit. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of your trouble come and the years approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. It mentions in that a bit later on, it talks about the sounds of birds waking you up, but then it grows faint. You can't even hear birds, but they still wake you up. When you're afraid of heights and of dangers and streets, when you've no desire what's going to be stirred anymore. So it has a lot to say about that, but let's just think. I work with young people quite a lot, and I get ribbed quite a lot about my age, really, in underwear. They're doing it with the mates, but I'm like getting it. I'm thinking, how can I get my own back on this one? No, I don't. But anyway... I get that quite a bit, but I said to him, do you know what? It's the most natural thing. Well, we might try to hold it back, but it's the most natural thing in the world, isn't it? C.S. Lewis had this to say. He said this: the future is something which everyone reaches at the rate of 60 minutes an hour, whatever he does. Whoever he is, we will all be old someday, if you're blessed. This week I got it's just a reminder for people who knew Bob, but my friend Bob Lancaster used to come to this church a long time back, passed away suddenly, 65 year old. And he was a guy, he went to gym every day, he worked in leisure, so he was as fit as, he was really fit in my eyes, slim, fit, doing all the things he did. But sometimes we just don't, it's a blessing sometimes. It is a blessing. And the main thing, though, I would say, as we do get older, is not ever to fear death. I can't say I don't fear it, it's not there, but what I mean is I don't fear dying and where I'm going. I fear maybe I would die, and I'd love to live long. We all would, wouldn't we? But I don't fear death. I know I've got a destiny with Jesus. I know there's a destiny where... I don't think there's going to be anything like age or anything. There's no such thing as these things. The Bible says that we'll have these great bodies. It's not going to break down. Joints aren't going to start aching. So we've got a great future to look forward to. But I want to speak today to two people, to us who may be younger and to the people who may be considering themselves elderly. You may not. But first of all, I want to speak to you who may consider yourself as getting a bit older. First of all, I'll say to you, well done. Well done, because God has blessed you with long life. Yeah, your eyes might be fading, your bones might be a bit weaker, but well done. Because most of you have seen so many changes in the world. Probably your generation has seen probably more changes than any other generation what's ever lived. Some of you, I know for a fact one lady in this room, has seen war. Those war years, many will have experienced events after war growing up with, you know, not enough, you know, food rations and things like that. But most of us, and some of us in here, have experienced men walking up moon, have developed a cars. It wasn't so long, I remember watching films on cars, they were starting to look like that, long on our day, and I'm thinking, look at them now. Cars, what they've done. Internet, radios, development of that. It just amazes me what has changed in the last 50, 60, 70 years. And keeps changing. And I think it's exciting, that, isn't it? Technology is a great thing. But these people amongst us have lifted up some, all those things. The development of all those things. It just amazes me that. It's a blessing, I think. So I would say to you, you know, you've crossed, you know, a lot of bridges in your life and you've seen a lot of things. And I just know that experience, Bible talks about that quite a bit, that is an experience what you can hold on to and share, especially in this generation what needs it now. So you've come across a lot of bridges, a lot of crossroads, and you're kind of at that top of that apex, really, where you are. You can look out on this valley of all those years and see, you know, all those experiences and share some of the those experiences. Reflect on some of those things, what you've been through. Because I know we age, I've learned, you know, I was like a bull in a china shop when I was a young lad. I just wanted to do it. And I know I made mistakes and I look back and I've learned from them. And I think it's good to be able to share that. Share some of those experiences as well. When I go to Pimble's, I love it. I love hearing the old stories. I'm quite a bit of a historian in the sense that I like historian documentaries and I read a few books here and there. I just love hearing about the past, really. And I love hearing sometimes, I don't want to embarrass him, but I've got a friend in this church, he's here today, I'm not going to tell you who he is, but he didn't get his first pair of shoes till he was 15. Can you imagine that? Yeah, and them are experiences growing up with that, because I tell you what, when you've lived like that, you're going to be an hard worker, aren't you? You're going to go out and work out to get what you can and live a life. And but these experiences kind of form us, I think. I think they really do. Those people who went through war years have got experience of that. Death around them. Every day you're reading your paper, more people being shot, killed, not coming home. And yeah, these are experiences that we hopefully we're never going to have. But they've lived them and it forms something about their character, I'm sure, some of them things. As what happens to us is going to form us, where we go. So let's just look at another Bible verse. It's Psalm 92. I'm taking it from verses 13 and 14. It says this: those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. What a great scripture for elderly people. That God has not finished with you. That God has a plan. I know people, I've said this a few times. God doesn't look at retirement ages. He's still looking at what's in your bag. What you got. Yeah? Because in this church, but also from past when I've been in churches, I've been around some great people of prayer. They might not be running around. They might not be able to do kitchen anymore. They might not be able to walk very good. But I tell you what, they can pray. Prayer warriors. Fantastic. Knowing that when you've said, will you pray for me, they're going to be on it. And all those other things. But there we go. The Bible's saying we're going to bear fruit. Don't say about wrinkling away and, you know, not no use. It says you're going to bear fruit and be fresh and you're going to flourish. So we need to remember and remind ourselves that honouring and respecting our elders is an essential part of who we are, our faith. In Leviticus 19, it says this, it's 32. You shall stand up before the great head and honour the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. Rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord. Stand up, respect. And I just think sometimes in our society we've lost something, haven't we? Of probably where we were 50 years ago. I'll give you an example. Just think about how many elderly homes there is in Selby. I was reading a quote about Chinese, okay, how they look after their, and we know societies do that. We have, you know, we have got a lot of more things in place now. We've got a lot of care. There's money put forward to look after elderly. I suppose the Chinese and Indian people or whoever, them cultures don't have the same, you know, finances. But I was reading about in Shanghai, in China, in 1974, about the same time as this, I was speaking on earlier. Do you know how many homes that were for elderly there in this massive city? You know how many? There's millions, isn't there, in China anyway. There were one. One. Just had a different way of looking after. Maybe like we were a long time ago. And I know for those who are grannies in the room today and granddads, looking after your grandchildren is great. Fantastic. But I remember growing up, my mum and dad working around my granddad's all the time. It was just like that family was in them days, but we've changed and people live far away, you know, away from where they were brought up now. Families are split, it's all changed. And it's lovely when you still see that, when you've got them relationships, you're close and you can help out. It's hard. I know one thing, I mean, my grandchild's probably about 18 months old. I can't wait. I mean, I'd love to have him, but I can't wait doing that end of day. Yeah? It's great, because there's timing on these things. There's a time in God's, you know, God knows about these things, doesn't he? Puts a limit on, you know, them times women getting pregnant and things like that. God knows these things. So I think honouring the elderly isn't just about good manners. It's not just a good idea. In fact, it's God's plan. And he commands it. He commands us to look after vulnerable. So we've got elderly, but what about the orphans, it says? What about the widows? Yeah, what about the sick? All these things. We, as a church, we want to do that. We want to honour people in a society. And as a church, we're not just looking after us own. Church has never really been about that, really. It's always been about going out, hasn't it? Really. And, you know, most Christians, you know, like, for instance, the first hospitals, or were it the Christians, the first hospices, the Christians, they weren't going out to for their own. It was for those lost people. Well, then people didn't know Jesus. It wasn't for themselves, because they were honouring what the Word of God says. Honour these people. Respect them. So why? The main reason why we should honour elderly is wisdom. That's what Bible teaches a lot about. And Bible teaches a lot about being hold when you're grey hair. I'm just glad to have some, I'm being honest with you. But that's, you know, I'm joking about that. But it does talk about the grey hair being wise. And I think that's right, really. I mean, you can get, you remember there's that old saying, there's no fool like an old fool. I've met a few of them as well in my time. But I do respect, you know, people who've gone before me. Judy, Jeff, who passed away, you know, within 10 years going to, I have a great lot of respect for these people who are some as not just worldly wise, with all the experience. not just an experience of living as Christians, they spent a lot of adult years not as Christians, and that brought something to the table as well. As your experience will always bring something when you're meeting people. I'm going to give you, just thought of a coincidence once. I was talking to a girl about Jesus. And it wasn't going anywhere. I was struggling with her. And I could see she was being polite, but really, she just thought we're a nutter. She did. And I don't know why I used it, but I was looking for a way to show something. And I can't exactly why I used it, but I said, well, just think. What if you were going on a train to Liverpool? Just that moment, she crashed on the floor and screamed, crying. Why would I have said Liverpool? I don't know. I could have said Edinburgh to tell this story. I could have said London. But in her life, something horrible happened on a train to London. Don't need to tell you what it was. Sorry, to Liverpool. God uses you at that moment, sometimes. And he's still going to use you, because it says in his word that you're going to be fresh and fruitful even in old age. So those living in that valley of youth don't always see the dangers. They don't often see those. We've lived through, or some of us have lived through, a lot of failures, successes. We've seen ups and downs. And, you know, sometimes it's good just to have somebody for a steadying hand. Somebody who just say, whoa, think about this a little bit. And I love those people who have been around God for a long time. I love their wisdom. I love those people who have got into the word, and I know I can go, and they'll speak to me as honestly as well. And I can weigh it. I don't have to run away with the dead right, but I'll weigh that. I just love it. These people have got so much to offer. Got valuable counsel and advice. And do you know what? If you are elderly today, and you have got that counsel and you have got that advice in you, what a way to serve the Lord. What a way to honour him. Because you're not finished. You're not retired in God's kingdom. In fact, I think you're more needed than ever in this, you know, to help stabilise things in this now generation we're in. This now generation, we put telly on. I mean, how many times do you get disheartened when you look at statistics with young people? The mental health issues in with young people, for instance. I work with a lot of young people. I would say the people I work with are quite vulnerable anyway. I would say one in four of those people have got some sort of anxiety issues. What about those things like discipline? You've got to even be careful what you say now. For you, if I don't want to offend anybody, but I slapped my kids when they were little. Not, I didn't enjoy it. It was just a bit of that. I didn't. My mother, some of you met her. If there's anything round her, make sure you were out of that room, because it was coming through air at you. That's what she was like. There were six of us, and she took no nonsense from us. But what I'm saying is, that younger generation, you know, you might not agree with everything I talk about here, but they need discipline. They need to be disciplined, because you're not honouring your children by not disciplining them. And I don't mean, you know, slapping them up. I don't mean that. But you know what I mean? You'll do it your way, and that's great. I got a great example once from Alpha Course about discipline. And I mentioned it to somebody this week. Again, a non-Christian. So some of this stuff what goes in can come out. And she wondered about discipline her children. And somebody was giving that example of discipline being like, well, just to take that analogy of a rooftop in a skyscraper, say. And so if you were on that roof, playing on that roof, or let's say not playing, let's say you just were on that roof and you want to have a look over edge. Now you imagine it, no wall there, no fence. What would you be like going up to that wall? Would you not be like that? Because I would be. I won't even go up, to be honest with you. If there were a barrier there, you could walk right up to and feel that freedom. You've got freedom to do what you want. That's what discipline's like. because you're giving a barrier, you're giving them love, you're giving a limit, and they're safe. I work with a lot of children, them walls have been taken down. They're pushing and pushing, and they've got no security. Going off point a little bit. So let me just encourage you who may consider yourself elderly. This is a great quote, I think. I've used him a couple of times. A guy called General MacArthur, and he was one of the top military generals in the Second World War, and he were a Christian. Just to read some of his quotes, he were a Christian. I downloaded loads ages ago because I loved some of his stuff, but he said this: youth is not entirely a time of life. It is a state of mind. Nobody grows old by merely living a number of years. People grow old only by deserting their ideals. Years may wrinkle the skin, but to give up interest wrinkles the soul. Worry, doubt, self-distrust, fear and despair, these are the long, long years that bow the head and turn the growing spirit back to dust. Whatever your years, there is in every being's heart the love of wonder, the undaunting challenge of events, the unfailing childlike appetite for what next, and the joy and the game of life. You are as young as your faith, as old as your doubt, as young as your self-confidence, as old as your fear, as young as your hope, and as old as your despair. Moses did best work after he was 40 years old. He led people out of Egypt at 80. Abraham was 100 when he fathered a child. But I'm going to take me off to Sarah, who was 90, who had the child. I want to just tell you a little bit about Pymble. So we've had a meeting this morning. Pymble's an old people's home. It isn't an old people's home. It's a sheltered accommodation in town. And we were invited in many moons ago. That was a God thing. We were praying outside. We didn't even know what it was. We just prayed. And within like 3 months, we were in there, carol singing and that sort of thing. And then we invited in. We go every couple of weeks to Pymble, and it's church. It's their church. They call it church. In fact, we had these conversations this morning. John, who I mentioned to you, he calls it church. When Sonia's mum went round, we wanted first to go, hey, we've got church every week. You love it. So that's how we look at it. These are people who are quite infirm now. We've lost over years, we've lost many, many, many. But I want to give you some little stories about what's been happening over years. About 6 years we've been going in, coming into the seventh year. And we faithfully go every week. We love them, they love us. And we've got people who bring their experience. And it's been a great learning ground for everybody. But over years, do you know, I've just seen some wonderful things happening in that place. Now, I consider myself an evangelist. I love to tell people about Jesus. I'm not, when I say evangelist, I don't mean I go on platforms and talk to people. I don't think I'd ever do that. But I enjoy telling people about Jesus, because why would you want to hide something like that? It's like somebody stepping in front of a train, you pull them back. And that's how I feel when I tell people about Jesus, because I know God can turn lives right way up. And over years, I've seen people come to know God. I've seen people share the faith. And it's been a great privilege for me in that way, because I always felt the elderly were really difficult. Every time I spoke to these people, they might be in church a long time. Because I believe churches are full of people who don't know God sometimes. But these people, because I was one of them. I went all my life. Well, all my life, only 15, when I fell away. But I thought, I know God. So, you know, graciously, I try to tell people what I feel, what the gospel means about Jesus loving you, that he's already died for your sin, that you don't have to be hung up on guilt anymore. God's done it. He finished it all on a cross. And I always found elderly really difficult, because they'd had all these years of religion. And religion is a curse, Bible says. Religion, law, this way, that way. We've always done it this way. Who are you coming in, young lad? And what do you think you are? So it's always been difficult. But do you know what? We had moments of that at times. But it's been just a wonder seeing some of these elderly people, I believe, born again. One in particular, a lady called Amy. I think we all loved Amy, didn't we? She was like in her 90s. And she's one of them, you know, them old elderly people you just love. They've all got that smile on the face. And yet, you know, I know she'd got aches, pains and everything. Always had something nice to say. But this lady, you could see her face light up when something clicked one day about Jesus, what he'd done for her. That it wasn't about just going to church every week. It was just really about knowing this Saviour. And going in as a church, so we're learning them new songs. They love the, even now, they love the songs. They can't wait, because we do church. We don't do a meeting. We do a church. We break bread. We have a word. And people share. But the most wonderful thing, what's happened, when I tell you, when I go back to that little one about refreshing and fruits of the Spirit, what about seeing when they start laying hands on each other in their 80s and 90s, never done it in their life? That's what I love. When they've prayed, laid hands on elderly people. And then, for me, what even greater, we had another Amy. We had about three Amys at one time, didn't we? Another Amy. She came to us only about a year ago, and she was like me. She was brought up Catholic. And she was a lovely, wonderful lady. And I really believe, I'm going to go back to, as a child, that priest who looked after me, because you always hear these bat stories a lot. This guy was a great man. And I know he was praying for me. I was an altar boy. And they did all that. And I remember him saying to me, oh, yeah, God and all that, you might be. And he's right, really. I'm standing at the front talking to somebody, but I'm not wearing all that stuff what they wear. But I had a great respect for this man called Father Daly. And he went to Sheffield, and what it was great talking to her. She was his housekeeper. So, yeah, she was his housekeeper, and she said the same words. Because he left when I was about 10, so, but she said what a great man he was, a real man of God. And then one day, we were speaking in tongues. For those, you may have heard somebody speaking in tongues today. I know you were singing in tongues. It's all in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, it's all in there. Spiritual gift from God speaking through our. And I can't remember what happened. We were speaking in tongues. We were praying and speaking in tongues in an elderly meeting in the 90s. And I thought afterwards, and she was quite new to us, Amy. And I thought, I'll just have a word with her afterwards. Are you all right, Amy? She went, yeah. And I said, you know, this speaking in tongues. She said, oh, I know all about that. Oh, yeah, great. This is how lovely. She said, and do you know what? When I was back in Sheffield, there were these Catholic young men, they were like, I suppose, equivalent to like missionaries. She said, they'd sing in tongues. And that was just a great joy for me, thinking, wow, it's still happening there, you know. It's great. So it's been a great testimony. And I think we do honour them in that way, because we know they can't get out. And we go sit with them. I'm quite friendly with John. I get on with John. John's quite well. And my mother-in-law is in Pimble anyway. She don't come down. She hasn't got that faith. But John's great, and I go see him. And it's just lovely to hear them stories from past. And he's still a work in progress, like we all are. But I tell you what, you come to praise with that man. You get to start singing. And I tell you what a voice he's got. He wants to praise God, and he sings out loud. And he's our evangelist in there. Anybody new who comes in is there. He's round. tottering about, and it's just a, you know, it's just been a real privilege, I'd say, really, to do that. And we're still honouring them. Do you know, it's difficult because we lose people, they're elderly. It's been, but we keep going. We keep going because that's where God's put us. Because I think there's people in there in the 80s and 90s who were saved. I really believe that. And it's lovely. So I just want to just say this to you. God has more for you. The Lord promises this. Even in your old age and grey hairs, I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. That's Isaiah 46:4 if you're taking notes. And the glory of young men is their strength. The beauty of all men is their grey hair. It's wonderful. I just want to read you a couple more scriptures. That were Proverbs 20. Psalm 71. If you get a chance to read the full psalm, this is, I'm not going to read it because it's like two pages. Psalm 71, it's pretty much, I think it's King David really, talking as an old man, looking back. But yet as an old man, he's still looking forward, still praising that the God he honoured as a young king. He said this, "Now that I am old and my hair is grey, don't leave me, God. I must tell the next generation about your power and greatness. God, your goodness reaches far above the skies. You have done wonderful things. God, there's no one like you." And just finally, in Revelations, we're told this. "There will come a time when death will be no more. And since we will be living in eternity, the term growing old will be meaningless." So just before I finish, some practical things. I would start with you younger generations, really young, who are living at home still. And I know you guys do respect your parents. But that's where it starts. Respecting. I was grown up to respect elderly. We all were, weren't we? You know, if anybody said out to you in authority, poof. And I think, you know, we did that with our children. I remember we had a bobby knocking at door once. And my kids fell apart. Just because of the police, because they had that respect. The kids I work with, you want to see what they're like with bobbies when they're around. But it's how you bring your children up, and it's how you respect as well. I think there's a lot of statistics about loneliness, you know, in we elderly, and these are all things we can do. Just if you know somebody local, just talking to them, getting a bit of time, because, you know, some people might not see anybody all week except for a postman, which is a bit sad. You know, especially living, you know, if they've outgrown and outlived everybody, and it happens, doesn't it? It might be that you can do something practical. Shopping, we do a little bit of shopping for a lady down our street. It takes us 5 minutes to, you know, put it in with ours. Because there's over 2 million people over 75 who live alone. And I think where we can best serve each other is encouraging us elderly in church, still. Because we, you know, if you look at our church, there's a lot of people in this room that say, I know you're younger, yeah, but ignore you one or two younger ones, but there's a lot of people around this room looking at, there's a lot of over 50s in this room. And we're looking to you guys, this next generation coming up behind us. We need you doing things right, and this world needs you doing things right. So I encourage you, well, you know, you're doing well as well. Are we just finishing prayer? Yeah, Father, we thank you for your blessings, especially those blessings over long life, Lord. Lord, we respect, we love as parents, and Lord, they might not be with us now, Lord. They might have gone to be with you, but Lord, we thank you for us lives. Lord, we thank you that we live in a culture that is rich in so many ways. And we thank you for the blessings, Lord. We thank you for your teachings, Lord. And Lord, help us to serve those vulnerable peoples in our society, Lord. You tell us to look after poor. You tell us to look after orphans. And so teach us, Lord. I'm sure we can get it better. So, Lord, we're here. We're open to what you want with us, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you, everybody. I better wrap up. Thank you. Yeah, if you've got any questions.